Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle Radio Show. Amen. God bless you all in Jesus' name. I'm so happy to be here. You're listening to me right now. You are blessed in Jesus' name because you hear my voice meeting without the Lord Jesus. But if you're listening to me now, you're blessed because you are yet in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God praise on today. Amen. Thank God. Praise God. We praise God for today. Because this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. God, who is the head of my life, give honor to my pastor, First Lady Pastor William Tuggle, and my First Lady, Muggle, in Jesus' name, God bless you both. Their absence, their town on today, they had to go out and be funeral. But we thank God for them. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
We also thank God for watch the wall of this work. In his name, Apostle Cook, God bless you. In Jesus' name, and all of the Spirit Alive family, different places, and certainly last but not least, my beautiful, beautiful wife, God bless you. In Jesus' name, children, in Jesus' name. Today, the Lord has commissioned me. We talked about life is the workmanship of Christ. And they told me to continue to encourage. And this past day, the Lord gave me the title for this today, it was service. And the title of this topic today coincides with what we talked about last time, but it goes in more deeper. And the title of this topic today is Use My Story for Your Glory. Lord, use my story for your glory. And when we talk about life stories, we see it on TV, and this is the best example I could give. When you watch a movie, when you watch a TV show or something like that, or you read a book, and it has on there based off of true life stories. When we hear about different people's lives, such as we have civil rights leaders, we have different people that have done great, amazing things. But what you see is sometimes we do not see the test in the trial that you have to go through to be the amazing person that you call. Why God? In this time, we don't know why the Lord calls things to happen. And yet, yes, we talked about life is the workmanship of Christ. We drew out the outline spiritually, spiritually see why God allows things to happen in our life. But today we're going to go deeper into that topic. He uses his glory. Now we're here. We talked about this last week. But why do we go through these problems? Why do we go through these things called life problems? It is for the education, it's for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you might say, well, Brother Adam, these problems of my life, you know, I've been going through years. When is breakthrough going to happen? But no, that he's not short of the promise that he made to you, willing to take peace. Now, when we go through the test and trial, we may not see the promises of God in our vision, in the vision of us going through the problem, in our focus, in our walk in life. When we go through hurdles and through those problems in life, we don't see God's plan. I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes we don't see God's plan. Sometimes we, because, wait a minute, Lord, why? We still have a why. I've said this before. Sometimes God will answer you before. Sometimes God will answer you at the end of it. It leaves you in an answer. Sometimes it will let you know at the beginning, middle, or end. I'm a firm witness. I've said this over the air many times, that when I went through the issue with my heart, the Lord told me at the end of it why I went through what I went through. And it wasn't because of sin. It was because of him and his glory of my life. There's also somebody else going to go through this same ordeal. They were going to go through this same ordeal, and he needed to use me then to see that he was able to move. God had to deliver because this individual had never been through it before. Me and saw me and said, if you can do it, do it. We have those people in our life that, hey, if they can do it, I can. And this is the story. This is the story of our life. We have people in our life that go through things. And you be an individual. You might be an individual going through something for another person to be able to see you. That God is able to. Let me break it down. I want to go to a scripture just to clear the air here. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And then we'll go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5. And 6. Amen. Chapter 3, verses through 5. Entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had withered hand, and they watched him. He healed him on the Saturday, that they accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, he said unto them, lawful to do good in the Sabbath. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or do evil? Or do evil to save life or to kill? He held their peace. And when he looked around on them with anger, being grieved from the hardness of the heart, he saith unto the man, stretch thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. This withered hand is the man that we read in scripture. And I'm going to the other scripture. This is the man that was asked or where the disciples asked Jesus, did his sin or did he sin for this to happen? And he began to tell them no, that he did not sin. Neither did his parents sin. But this thing right here that he has a problem with, this withered hand, is a problem for him because it is to be used for the glorification of God. Now, you might say, this man with the withered hand, what problem did he have? He had a disability. Basically, he had several problems. In today's scientific terms, he had a cerebral palsy. He had a paralysis on his, I don't know which hand it was, his left or right. And with this, to me, it hit me because I've dealt with disability myself. And in the midst of it all, the Lord has been able to keep me. And there are some times where I've, throughout my life, and I'm only in your life because I don't know anybody else's life, many people have asked me throughout life, how are you able to do this? How are you able to do that? And you got this going on and that going on. And all I was able to say was nothing but the grace of God. It's nothing but the grace of God. And this is the story. The story is, and I'm going to use myself, the story is, life is okay. He done had he's a patient. He's done had strokes. He has a disability. He has all of this. He has heart problems. All of this going on. That is my life. That is part of my life. But God has used this life story and used it for His glory. There are things that I'm not supposed to be doing. What am I saying? Well, what are you saying, brother? I'm saying that to say this. There are things in your life, there are things in people's that, hey, you are not supposed to be doing because of the things that have happened in your life. The things that you're battling with in your life, not overcome, but you have come through the grace of God, and his glory has shined through life for everybody to see. Hey, I don't know how he was able to do it, or how she was able to do it, but let me ask him on how, and then you will say nothing but the word of God. God, his glory. They were so amazed about this man. They were amazed on how he got healed. Amazing. It's amazing. They look at you and see you. And I'm talking to who I'm talking to today. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to someone where you have been through many tests and many trials. Hurt people. You've been down and out. And it ain't always been physical. Sometimes it's been financial. Sometimes it's been mental. Sometimes it's been emotional. Sometimes it's been physical. Sometimes it's whatever it might be in your life. And some people might know what you've been through. And they're like, wait a minute, how is he still going? How is he? And how in the world? Even some of your enemies will be astonished. I keep trying to break her down. I keep trying to break her down. Even the devil himself is astonished. I had her. I thought I had him. But yet I'm still moving. Yet I'm still continuing in. How is he doing? I thought if I plagued with this or if I plagued him with that, he was going to stop. I thought he was going to come to an end. But yet, it's not over. Your story is not over. With God put down on me, inside of you will be performed with the day is coming. I don't know who I'm talking to. There is a reason. And let me tell you, there's somebody, and it grieves my spirit because there's somebody that's listening. And you think it's hopeless. You're thinking you're hopeless. It's like it's over. No, it ain't over. It ain't over. Until God says, there are people that are listening that are battling depression. Depression, the people, there's some people that are on here that have thought, well, if I end it all, I'll just be all gone. Don't do that. That's the end of it. The Bible says in chapter 3, verses 5-6, it's trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. This is why I say for the people that have thought about maybe just end it all, I'll be free. But no, you won't. No, you won't. Dad, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be transparent here, and I'm going to be blunt as because this is a serious thing. When you let things get, when you let problems of life lead into, those things come to try to get you on course with God. And I ain't just talking to the sinner. I'm talking to the man of the woman of God. We deal with it. We deal with it too. That depression tries to come up, you better rebuke that thing. Rebuke it. I will come underneath depression. Because you know what depression leads to? It tries to bring on spirits. One tries to bring on the spirits. The spirit of depression, let me give you an outline on what type of spirits bitter depression brings. Some of them. I ain't gonna. But the spirit of depression, and why I'm going, I don't know why I'm dealing with the spirit of depression. But the spirit of depression, why do you think that you are the one dealing with it? I'm by myself, I'm alone. You're never alone. You're never by yourself. Somebody asked me one time, do you feel lonely in your apartment? No. I seem to you, the natural eyes, it might look like I'm alone, but I'm never alone. Because the Bible says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Even if you make bed in heaven, you're never by yourself. And let me tell you something. Let me show something else that depression will. Depression will have you think. The spirit of depression will have you think, I'm the only one going through it. No, you're not. No, you're not. You ain't the only one going through this. You're not the only one going through the health issue. You're not the only one going through. No. Same spirit. This as an example. You ain't the only one going through it. I use this as an example to show you that you're not the only one going through it. I battle heart disease. That's a spirit. That's a spirit. It's a health spirit. Heart disease is a spirit. I think I'm the only one in the United States of America and the world that battles heart disease. I don't think so. There's people that are battling heart disease. That's why I said that will try to make you the only one. You're the only one, baby. You're not the only one. Woman of God, you're not the only one. The spirits will try to make you think you're the only one. But the Holy Ghost, the Lord will have you think that you are more than a conqueror. The devil has got to put the spirit of depression on you to make you think that way. And it leads to other spirits. Like I said, it leads to other spirits. The spirit of alcohol might come in and try to say, well, if you just drink, you'll be all right. No, you won't. Because now you're dealing with it holds it on. That's what the Bible says, outside and sin. When you get into a spirit of depression, you're thinking, I'm not going to come out of this. Doubt. The devil is a liar. Sin is a sin. Because the Bible says, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Not into your own understanding. If you don't God, do not trust God. The Bible clearly, we just read it. The Bible declares that we should trust in Him with all our heart. We have to trust Him times, in the bad times, in the old times, in the times that we don't feel it, in the times that we do feel it. No better make no sense not to trust Him. But it makes sense to trust Him. It don't make no sense not to trust Him. Because every time we trusted God, He brought us out. Every single time. You're still here, aren't you? That means He brought us out of every situation. There's some situations that situation taking them here, literally took their life, but they're still here. That mind battle took your mind but you still were in your right mind. You still woke up knowing who you are. Yes, my God. Yes, you close to you, but God said he is a friend that is closer than any brother. The Bible says that your mother and your father forsake you, that he will take you up. He said he'll be your mother. He said he'll be a mother to the motherless, a father to the fatherless. What are you talking about, Brother Adam? What are you talking? But that means he'll be everything you need. He said, Pharaoh, he Moses, tell Pharaoh the answer that I am sent you. What I am that I am need, that I will be everything you need me to be in your life. That's what that means. The I am that I am. If you need me to be in your life, I'll be good in your life. If you need me to be a burden bearer, I'll bear your burdens. If you need weights taken off, I'll walk off those weights. I know what you see. Let us in Matthew chapter 6. He lets us know that he knows all that we seek after. He knows what we're seeking after. From the natural to the spiritual, he knows everything that we need. Your heavenly Father knows that you seek. So if he knows it, we shouldn't take no thought on how we should. In Matthew chapter 6, it talks about that. We shouldn't take no thought on how you'll be fed. Take no thought on how you'll be fed and what you're going to have to drink. Don't worry about all that stuff. Your heavenly Father knows the things that you need. He knows. Be the right mind. He said, he'll keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind stayed upon him. Know that you need food in your refrigerator. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first kingdom of God. Why is everything that we need, everything that I've said it before, I'll say it again, everything we need like him, it still points back to God. Whether it's spiritual or spiritual, how do I know that everything I need points back to God? Because it's in the natural. Say we need money. He said he owns part of 1,000 hills. It points back to God. It said in the Bible, it lets us know that we should look to the hills for our help. What? From the Lord. Made what? Heaven and earth. That's how I know that everything need. And this is why, this is the reason why we say, Lord, use my story for your glory. This is why you use it. The way you see fit, not the way you see fit, but the way you see fit. Because your life is your own way. Your life don't belong to you. And I said this over the air before, your life don't belong to you. I had some of my friends in high school and middle school a couple times. Adam, this is my life and I'm the way I want to. You know, why do you go to church so much? Well, number one, my father made me go when I was younger. Then as I got, I wanted to go to church. Well, you know, when I moved out on my own, one of my friends say, oh, man, boy, now you can do whatever you want. No, I can't. Well, you ain't gonna hang out with us on Saturdays and Sundays. Yeah, I'll hang out with you Saturdays. Some. Feel like it. But not on Sunday. Unless you come to church with me. I'll be at church. Because I know where you're getting at. I know what you're talking about. You want to see if I'm going to hang out with you on Sunday. No, I'll be at church. I'll be right there in the pew. Same as always. But you now, you on your own, and you get to rest when you want to. No, I'm 36 years old, and I still have people coming to me. I can't do that. Why? You can sit there in front of the TV. I got so much stuff to do. So do I. And so does everybody else in America, in the world. You ain't the only one. And I got a life to live. I got a life to live, too. It ain't your life. I got a life to live. That ain't your life. You living on borrowed time. Don't you know that in the book of Genesis, God breathed the breath of life into man? Using God's breath to be able to live life. Every time he lives, you breathe. You're breathing God's breath. Every time God breathes, you breathe. And when God says, I'm done, you're done. So this is not your life, because you can't control when you die. A person cannot control when they die. They can die young. They can die middle aged. They can die old. It does not matter. It does not matter. The only thing that matters to God is that, hey, you live your life for me. That's why we're here. That's why we say, Lord, use my story for your glory. Use it the way you see fit. Romans chapter, because the Lord is leading me to do this. And if you, I'm going to say this, if you have a comment or a question, everybody's unmuted, so you can speak anytime. It's open. It's open for anybody that wants to leave a comment, question. You have a question, go ahead. And I'll try to answer it the best way I can. And if I don't know the answer, I will tell you I don't know. And if I don't know the answer, I will either bring that answer to you next week, or I'll bring the person to you to answer it. Amen. Or I'll find someone to answer to you. Amen. But I want to go to the book of Romans real quick. Romans chapter 8. Starting at verse 28. I want to read verse 28 and I'm going to drop down to verse 35 through 39. Okay? The Lord is leading me to do this. 8 and 28 says, and we know that all things work together. That all things work together for the good of to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And then we're going to drop down to verse 35. Start at verse 35. And it reads, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? felt tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, you might say, what does that all mean? If we, all of the testing and trials, all of these spirits try to plague our minds and try to mess with us, mess with our heart. What do all of these things try to do? They try to separate us from God. If we look at the life of Job, the devil, if we look at the life of Job, the devil was trying to win Job, but before he even went to attack Job, he went before the Lord, and I'm paraphrasing, y'all. The devil was trying to tell, look, if you move your hand off of Job's life, I can give you more. And I can make him curse you to your face. Now, the one thing that God knew was he knew Job. He knew Job stands for him. He knew how Job's mindset was. And that's another thing, too. See, when you get deep into the Word of God, the Lord, when you start reading the Word of God and start meditating on the Word of God, getting in depth in the Word of God, when you meditate on the Word of God, that's getting in depth with the Word of God. See, the Lord allowed me to see something in those verses about Job. It let me know that the devil did not know Job's mindset. The devil don't know your thoughts. Let me know that. The Lord let me know that the devil did not know Job's mindset, because if he did, he wouldn't have messed with Job. He thought that, hey, Lord, if you just move your hand, if you just move your hand away from him, move your hand over his life, from off of his life, I'll be able to get it to your face. Now, if he had known, if the devil had known Job's mindset, he wouldn't have touched Job at that time. He probably would have came another time, because the devil don't stop messing with nobody. Problems don't stop happening. And I can guarantee you, before what we read about Job, and him losing everything in that one day, I'm pretty sure Job went through problems all of his life, from a baby on up, whether it be dealing with a sickness or dealing with a cold, whatever it might be. But these things did not deter Job from serving God. It built his faith. This is what we're trying to get people to realize, is that this is what God is trying to get us to realize. I ain't going to say us as people of God. This is what God is trying to get us to realize, is that when we go through the tests and the trials of our life, it is not here to break us. When God allows a test or a trial to come your way, it is not to break you, the making of you, This scripture in Romans chapter number 8, verses 35 to 36, lets us know that the trials of our faith are not here to break us. It's not meant to separate us from God. It is to build us up in God. It is to help us build our faith in God, because if we did not understand the power of God, we wouldn't understand the power of God if we never felt the power of God. If we've never seen the power of God move in our life, we would not understand the full authority of the power of God that he has over our life. This is called getting in depth with the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. Because when you understand that with his Word, when you read the Word, and he says things like, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into your own understanding. This is why he says things like that. Because he has power to move for you. But you have to understand the basic fundamentals of his power. And the basic fundamentals of understanding his power is the basic fundamentals of understanding the power of God is using your faith, walking in your faith, not walking in doubt, not walking in wavering. Come on here. When you waver in your mind, you're doubting. And when you doubt God, it's a sin. When you doubt God, and sin stinks in the nostrils of God, it brings a foul odor to God's nostrils when we doubt him. And it lets God know, wait a minute, my servant is not, my daughter, my son is not trusting me like I want them to, so I can't. It handcuffs God when you trust him. It handcuffs him. Just like he was handcuffed, he went to the cross. Just like he was shackled to the cross. Just like Paul and Silas were shackled in prison, he shackled in tests and trials sometimes. But we got to do like Paul and Silas, and do like Job. We have to do like the woman with the issue of blood. We have to walk in faith. And we have to count it, the Bible, count it all joy. What does that mean, count it all joy? It means every problem, every issue, everything that we go through, every good day, every bad day, I count it all joy. Why do I got to count it all joy even though my day is messing up? I'm still count it all joy. Why do I count it all joy? Why? Okay, well, let me show you why you should count it all joy and how you can count it all joy and what you should count to count it all joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You got strength to go through this day. That's why you should count it all joy. You work. Alive to see this day. That's why you should count it all joy. You got your mind. You woke up this morning. This is why you should count it all joy. You should have been cut off, but God showed mercy. The Bible says goodness and mercy shall follow them. Goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their life. You should have been cut off. Goodness and mercy was following you. That's a reason to count it all joy. That's a good enough reason. Well, I lost this and I lost that. It don't matter. Still count it all joy. Because the good days outweigh the bad days.
If the Lord don't do another thing for you, still count it all joy, because he died for your sins. He saved your soul. And if you ain't received the Holy Ghost yet, still count it all joy. Why? Because he gave you another day to receive it. God gave you another day to live to be able to receive it. This is why I should count it all joy. This is why I should say, Lord, use my life. Use my story for your glory. That, hey, whatever I go through, whatever I'm faced with, I know you're going to bring me out, because I know that I read in your word that you are the I that I am. You'll be everything I need you to be through the test and trial, through the storm and the rain. I'll be able to go through it. There's an old song that says, riding through the storm. My pastor, my former pastor, preached a message one time, and it was titled, Master, Still the Storm. Master, Still the Storm. Pastor Tuggle preached a message a long time ago. Payday is coming after a while. Yes. What do you mean payday is coming after a while? It's coming. I know we get up Monday through Friday and sometimes Saturday. We get up and go to work. But when we see that paycheck, we go to work. We go to work for 2 weeks, and then we see that paycheck. It makes us, we feel so good. Payday's here. The work that I put in, now I'm getting paid for it. Now the sacrifice that I made of getting, leaving my home. Now nowadays we have work from home jobs, but just getting up out of the bed, getting to that computer, going to work, clocking in, going to work, knowing that your body says lay in the bed. We getting paid for it, y'all. And that's the same thing with God. The problems and the issues of life that we go through, payday's coming after a while. Payday is coming after a while. Paul and Silas saw their payday in prison. They knew that payday was coming after a while. That's why, and I quote the scripture all the time, every day, just about every day I quote the scripture in my mind. I will bless the Lord at all times. Why at all times? Because I never know when he's going to bless me. I never know when he's going to come through with something. So I got to keep my mind on him. I got to keep praying, because when I doubt him, when I get in the spirit of doubt, it handcuffs God's blessing. It holds back the blessing. So I praise him. I got to give him praise at all times, in the good times, in the bad times, even when I feel like it, even when I don't feel like it. You know what? That scripture, Psalm 4, verse 1, don't you know that's not just scripture? That is a contract. That's a contract. Psalms 150 is a contract. The end of Psalms 150 is the seal of approval of a contract between man and God. What do you mean, Brother Adam? Matter of fact, I'm going to read it to you. Because I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you the contract in the Word of God that man made with God. And David actually sealed the approval. In Psalm 34, he sealed it for mankind. I'm going to read you Psalms 34, verse 1, and then I'm going to read Psalms 150, verse 6. Okay? I'm going to read Psalms 150, verse 6. This is the contract between man and God. Now, this is God's signature
Psalms 150, number 6. This is God's signature on this spiritual contract that we have to praise God, okay? This is his seal of approval. This is his guideline right here in Psalms 150, verse number 6. He said, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Okay. That's his seal of approval. That's all he wants you to do. He wants man to praise him. He wants every living thing to give him praise. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go to Psalms 34 to see where man signed this contract. Psalms 34, verse number 1, where they put their spiritual signature on this contract of praise. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise, not my praise, but his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, what does that mean? I'm going to praise him in spite of the issues. This will keep me. What we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 30 to 39, if we praise him, if we keep our mind in perfect peace, this will keep us from the tribulation, from the pestilence, from the sin of the sun, all of that. Keep us. If we just keep our mind in perfect peace, this will keep our mind in perfect peace. Despite the issues, praising. The Bible, and look, let me give you a glimpse on this contract. See, the Lord is sitting there. Just to show you, you've been contracted to not just praise him. You've been contracted to praise him, but you've been contracted that if you want to receive something from him, you've been contracted to seek him too. Uh-huh. You've been contracted. Man has been contracted to seek him. Let's go to Psalm. I said it earlier, but let's go to Psalm Matthew chapter 6. Quick. Matthew chapter 6, because I want you to understand. I want you to understand every single word. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 30. Wait a minute. Hold on. Verses 31 through 34. Okay? No, I'm going to add in 30. Okay? Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Now watch this, verse 2. After all these things do the Galileans seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. He knows this. He knows this. But this is the kind. This is what God is requiring for us to do. He knows that you have need of this stuff.
He knows it. But this is what he wants you to do. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, which means don't worry about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Amen. This is what we're talking about. This is why we can say, Lord, use my story for your glory. What is that statement saying? What is the title of this time? Lord, you do what you want to do. I got faith in you. Do anything you want with my life. I got faith in you. The Bible says faith without works is dead. You have to show God that you believe him. The Bible says faith without works is dead. You can have faith, but faith without works. What is the works? The works is what we read, Psalm 34, verse 1, Matthew chapter 3, chapter 6, verse 33. Those are the things that we got to do. Those are the works that we must show to God. Yeah, we can say we got faith all day, but yet, Lord, I got faith in you. Lord, I have faith in you. But God wants to see your faith in action. Mm-hmm. God wants to see your faith in action. Mm-hmm. The Bible lets us know that these things won't, you know, go out without prayer and fasting. This is what this is saying. This is what this means. That the Word of God is letting us know that, hey, I know that I'm going through. But the Word of God lets us know that when we go through, we have to have faith in action. And for somebody to be able to say, Lord, use my story for your glory, it takes a lot of faith to say it and do it and let God do it. It takes a lot of faith. I know some people that are going through right now. You might be a man or woman of God going through it. I'm here to encourage you today. You'll make it. You might be a sinner today. You can be blessed today. You can come out of the sinful nature that you're in. You can come out. You were born in shaping in iniquity. You were born in sin. Because I heard somebody say one time, and I hear some people, it's not a knock on anybody. I'm just using this as an example. I've heard some people say, well, I was born this way, born like this, and I was born. Yep. They're partly right. We all were born in sin. And I'm talking about the sinful nature. I'm talking about the sinful nature. Yes, we were born in sinful nature. We were born in sin. Now the sins that people put upon is a difference. But we were born in sin because of the fall of Adam. So they're partly right. The part about the sinful nature part, they're right. God is right. It said that I was born like this. Now, when I say born like this, I mean the sinful nature, not the sinful act.
I'm not talking about the act of sin. I'm talking about the sin and sin period. Okay? Let me get it straight. So won't nobody be able to say, well, Brother Adam, I was born to drink, and I was born to smoke, and I was born to be this way. I was born to be, I say that. Because some people will take that and put that and be like, well, I was born to drink, so therefore I'm able to drink now. No. Oh, woe is me. I'm just saying this statement. No. All this is no. That just because you were born in sin, you have to stay that way. The Bible says be born again. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Now you've had, there are three things you got to be born in the natural and in the water and in the Spirit. You got to be born again. In the natural, there's two things that you need for birth to happen. There's two things that you need to be born in the Spirit, water and blood. Without this, shedding of blood, there is remission of sin. And that's the Bible. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. What does that mean? That means that without God shedding blood, there would be remission of sins. There would be no reason for Acts 2 and 38. If God did not shed his blood, there would be no remission of sins. Why? Acts 2 and 38 wouldn't even apply to God shed his blood. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you. Man, I just. I love God. I'm just like, this is very, very tiring. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The shedding of his blood paid the price for the remission of sin. The Bible says, sin is. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Acts 3 is, then Peter said unto them, repent of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In place of remission of the shedding of blood, he will give you the Holy Ghost. In the place of those sins, in that the place of his sinful nature. He'll take that nature away and he'll put in his spirit. He'll take that sinful nature out of you to put in his spirit in you. That's what that means. And when you get out on the inside of you, the person that you came Philip in the book of Philippians, it talks about it is in Christ, we got strength in Christ. Matter of fact, I'm going to go to that because I'm going to write Philippians 4 and 13. Philippians 4 and 13. In Christ, we can do all things. Mm-hmm. Because we will have the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why. Amen. But in Philippians 4 and
And it says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Well, what does that mean? How can I do all things through Christ that strengthens me? Because I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. You might say, well, brother, why do you keep repeating yourself? I want you to understand that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Christ is your strength. Christ in you makes you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you overcome the things of the world, the problems of your life, the trials and tribulations of the world that come to you, that tries to come your life, to try to separate you from the level of God, principalities, relations, all of that stuff that tries to tear you from what God has given you. God's power will help you overcome the world. That's why Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, how do I know that I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me? You said, you talked about God's power, about God's power and all this stuff, but how do I really know? Because he lives on inside of you. How do I know that he'll live? Acts 2:38, we quoted that scripture. And Acts 2:38, yes. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized in one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is God's Spirit. I said it earlier. He will replace the sinful nature. He'll take the sinful nature out of you, and he'll put his Spirit on the inside of you. That will help you overcome that depression spirit. That will help you overcome that addiction spirit. That will help you overcome that I feel alone spirit. Come on, that I'm the only person that's going through. No. How do I know that helped me overcome? How do I know that the Holy Spirit will help me overcome? Well, let's another bit. Let me get something else to chew on tonight. Go to 1 John 4:4. Go to 1 John 4:4. Just to help clarify. This is to help clarify Philippians 4:13. Amen. John 4 says, ye are of God's children and have overcome them. What is them? What we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, verse 30-39. The relations of life. The problems of life. That's them. From them. It ain't just people. We're talking about people. We're talking about the problems too. Because the problems can also be in people. Uh-oh. What do you mean the problems can be in people? Don't know that people, some people try to come and bring you problems just to see if they can move you a little bit. They will try to put problems on you to see if they can rattle your faith. They are problem seekers. That's what they do. They seek to bring problems. So you like, if somebody to you trying to bring you problems, I'll tell you what you should do. This is good advice. They trying to put their problems on you, trying to mess you. And now it's a between them trying to bear, you know, they're trying to somebody to vent to, and, you know, they're trying to, that's all right. Somebody tries to bring problems, and they, girl, I just heard about this, and dude, I heard about this, I heard about, just like Job's friends. How to bring in problems. Why don't you curse God and die? The disciples, the man with the withered hand, when they asked, his parents sin, did he sin? And God said, no, this ain't got nothing to do with no sin. They try to find problems. What? No. This ain't got nothing to do with. The devil tries to bring us problems. The devil sometimes uses people to bring you problems. Uh-huh. But you know what? If you bring problems and tries to force and deliberately bring a problem to try to rattle your faith, I'm going to tell you what you should do and think about it. See, I just say, I am not human garbage can. You will not drop your slop on me. I'm going to say it again. I am not a human trash can. Do not drop your slop gut and worries on me. You got the woe is me's and you trying to get me to feel sick. You trying to get me. I know that. I know that you feel messed up for that. That's a problem. What are you doing? What? Why are you telling this person and you know what's going through? And you, oh, I know that that hurt. Don't nobody need to hear that. What's wrong with you? Don't nobody need to hear that. And this is what Joe did. Why don't you curse God and you know for that you, don't nobody need to hear that. What are they going through? If you can't say, my old friend say, if you can't say nothing nice, nothing at all. If you, and I'm going to say something to that, if you can't pray for them while they're going through, ain't no need to step on their neck and keep pressing on them. They already, damn, what you going, why are you going, child, I know that, I know you feel fucked up. Why would you say something like that? That's stupid. And yes, it's stupid. Do something like that, person, whether they be saint or sinner, especially if they're, and you're supposed to be a God. That's the devil. That is not right. It's a difference between telling somebody to encourage somebody and then make them feel as low as you can. There's a big difference, a very big difference. How is it that I know that I get strength from the Lord inside of me to go through my problems? Well, I said in John chapter 4, you are of God's children and have overcome because greater. The reason why we overcome the problem, because greater is He is in you than He is in the world. That's it right there. Matter of fact, I'm going to add verse 5 in there. We are of the world. They of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Error is when somebody is bringing you problems. They trying to mess up your day. I had this happen. Look,
And you know what? I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this right. I had an individual on my job. Initially, I ain't going to sugarcoat it because I know the spirit. And I saw the spirit. They may not agree with me, but I saw it every day. But it did not break me. I had two individuals on my job. One of them battled with something, and the other was battling with another thing, and these two individuals would come into the job all the time. And they'd come in, they look mad, they throughout the day they mad, and one of them said they was Christian. I mean, they told me around reading it. The other one, they said that they going through with their mind. Tell you something. And every time they upset and my coworker would see it, they blame it something. Oh, I went through this at home, and I went through this at home, and all of this. And the woe is me. Forgive me. Look, not every day. Have some sometimes. And then the other one, I believe in God because of the problems that they go through. Let me tell you something. You got problems does not mean that God doesn't exist. Doesn't mean that God does not exist. It's because of the problems that exist. What do you mean? It's because of the problem. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? The problem would not know that it even existed. And it is because of God allowing the problem to come your way to let you know who God is. It is because of the problem. It's supposed to show us two things. Number one, it's supposed to show the glory of his power and how he can show us that he's in our corner. I hate it when people say, oh, well, I don't believe in God. You not that all of these false gods try to bring you peace. All of these false other gods that try to bring you peace. Don't you know a lot of these gods, all of these false gods bow before God one day? Before the true and living God one day. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be swept away. But we have to hold to our faith in the end. We have to hold. That's why the Bible says to study to show self-approved. Approved for what? Approved for battle. We have to keep this word. We have to keep ourselves to know how to fight, to know what to do in different areas of our life, to know how to maneuver through life. That's why I always say it. This book is a life-changing book. It changes your very life. This book is a life book. 10 and 10 lessons of that. I am the way, the truth, the life. Some people believe that this is a fairy tale. Some people believe, well, part of it, and only believe in the New Testament.
you only believe in the Old Testament, if you only believe in him, you are just as crazy as the ones that believe at all. Well, I do believe in God. Started as well, you know, the white wrote it. You know, devil. King James, the devil. I ain't trying to hear all that. I ain't trying to hear that. Well, this book was used for slavery. This stuff. And the devil. And yeah, slaves used the Bible. They sure did, but Jehovah, it got them over, didn't it? It kept them. They learned how to read. They kept their faith. It didn't break them. And let me tell you something. Let me, in these last few minutes that I have, why would the Bible itself, whether slave master wrote and all this stuff, and the white wrote it to depress us, to the black people even, and depress other races even, so that we can be controlled. Why in the world use a book that brings life? And I want somebody to answer that question. Why would back then, why would the slave master use the book that brings life unto man if they're trying to control them in the way their life, the way of life? This is a way of life. See, God brought life spiritually first with natural life. The Bible lets us know that your prosper as your soul prosper. And it may not look like back then that our ancestors were prospering, but they were blessed. They were more blessed than we were, than we are now. My great-great-great-grandfather was more blessed than I am. Why? Because they had a deeper relationship with God than I did, than I do. Because they didn't have all of this social media and all this stuff on, and we weren't living in those of the, living in the land of the era. But it wasn't as hard, because as generations go on and on, the generation, the Bible says, the generations were worse and worse. In the last days, we're living in those days. We were just on the beginning back then, but now we're at the end. In some hard times, every generation goes through hard times. Segregation, that was a hard time. We're still living in hard times now. But God made a way of escape, whether we see or not, whether we know or not, the way of escape. Put food on the table. Put clothes on your feet. He put shoes on your feet. He put your right. And he saved Joseph. Martin Luther said it best. Free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Guess what? Get free spiritually. Then you're able to be free naturally. You may not have everything you want, but guess what? If you get in God and you seek him, he said all these things will be added unto you. And you know what? You'll be free, because the Bible says, he whom the Son sets free, free indeed. And he'll set you free. And then you'll be able to say, like Dr. Martin Luther King said, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. See, he was talking about a natural sense, but I'm talking about it on a spiritual and natural sense. He'll be able to free your mind. So you'll be able to, problems that you go through won't be able to take you over. You won't state of depression anymore. The problems of your life will be able to take over. You'll be able to say, oh, God, for me, so I'll be able to get through this. God did that for me. Just start talking about the goodness of God. The songwriter said, God, think the goodness of Jesus. Think that he did for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. I'm done, y'all. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name. And until next week, this is the Sunday with Minister Adam Tuggle. Amen. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name. As it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Jesus said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in Jesus Christ. If you have not received the Holy Ghost, this is the way to go, and this is the only way for you to live a holy and save life so you can be the Lord in peace. Day. God bless you. I love you. This is Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here, Good Life Network. This is the network. Where is fervent prayer that you be transformed in Jesus' name? God bless you in Jesus' name. And as my grandma used to say, if you don't see me again, I'll see you in the rapture church. God bless you in Jesus' name.